Welcome to another Carlin Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, another AFL Grand Finals done and dusted.
Another one down. And I think, you know, September, October, there's two things I really look forward to. One is the AFL Grand Final. Like, growing up as a kid, two things. The AFL Grand Final and then, for me, Bathurst, which will be coming up shortly. So it's a great sporting time. But AFL Final, obviously, again, with Richmond. Winning their 12th premiership.
Yeah, now they played the Giants from Western Sydney. Now, it was unusual, really. They've been knocking on the door for the last 3 or 4 years. They finally made their first grand final, but they didn't come to play, did they?
Well, it's funny, isn't it? That's the sport sometimes. You don't know. I mean, these guys obviously have prepared well. They're great athletes. They are a great team. There's no doubt about that. I personally was surprised that they made it. I didn't think they had a consistent enough year to be able to be a real force in the finals, but they proved me, and I'm sure a lot of other people, wrong. And so they seem pretty confident going into the grand final. But Richmond were just like a tidal wave, I think, from, I don't know, what round? There was a round that Adelaide beat them.
Round 13.
And then did they lose after that?
No.
No, and they had a terrible start with injury, and they had a lot of players out, and there was a lot of talk early on that they would struggle. But then from that loss to Adelaide, it was like a tidal wave. They just kept getting better and better, and it seemed that they couldn't be beaten, and that proved to be true.
Dusty Martin did not start the season off that well, but it coincided with Richmond's push to the premiership. His form over the last third of the season and in the grand final was just sensational.
Well, you win your second Norm Smith medal, two from two, and he is a fabulous player, isn't he? And they're the players that just rise to that new level, and they are the real stars of the competition.
It kind of reminds me of junior footy, when you see that tall guy that sort of just dominates everyone, brushes them aside, and just seems to have the ball on the string, and it really stands out at that junior level. He seems to be doing that at AFL level.
Yeah, you get those handful of players that are just in all sports, but he's one in AFL that are just that next level beyond. You've got all those elite players, and then you've got the really super elite at the top. And his movement ability and his ability to, you know, the don't argue. They love to talk about the don't argue. He just does that so well. And his kicking to either hit a player or score goals is amazing.
You know, a lot of people have lamented the fact that it was a boring grand final because of the margin, et cetera, et cetera. But quite frankly, I was pleased because we got to see some real skills on display from Richmond. We saw a real open, fast type of game. Whereas if it had been closer, the way the Giants play, they close it down. It's just a real rugby scrum type of play. So I much rather see Richmond win by displaying all the skills rather than a closer game where it's just boring to watch.
Yeah, I think playing, I've never played an AFL Grand Final, of course, never will, but you think from that, being in that competition, being out in front must be a great feeling. So, because you know you've got the game under control, and so you can try different things. And obviously in this case, they were so high in confidence and their ability and belief in each other that everything just worked. And it really did look like GWS, as you said, weren't there to play, but there's no doubt they were. I mean, we say that, but there's no doubt they were a professional elite team. They went out there and tried their hardest, but they came up against a team that were obviously so well coached and so well prepared that they just dominated GWS. And you've got to start to think, I was thinking about this after the game, what happens to GWS now? Because as you said, they've been around the mark. People have been talking them up for the last couple of years, really, haven't they?
Yeah.
But does that type of defeat start something different? Like, if you just lose, you think, man, we're in that and we want to come back hungry. But if you're in the grand final, because you think when Adelaide got beaten by that big margin, they've struggled since.
Yep.
And I wonder if that has a real effect on your psyche as a team.
Well, you look at you look at the margin. Now, they won by 89 points. Richmond beat the Giants by 89 points, which is one of the biggest margins. The biggest margin, of course, was 2007, where Geelong walloped Port Adelaide Power by 119 points. So that's a record.
And see, these are things that people still talk about that now. If you talk about Port Adelaide, that comes up. You know, the Crows one comes up, and you think, and not only did they win by 89 points, it's they didn't kick a goal for nearly an hour in the grand final. GWS did not kick a goal for nearly an hour.
They look, the first quarter up to the 20-minute mark was goalless, and then and GWS actually kicked the first goal of the game. Richmond responded. Then they kicked one on the side, so they actually led 2-3 to 1-2 at quarter time. And the second quarter set up the premiership. They were 7-5 to 1-6 up at half time, and they kicked like at least the first three goals at third quarter. They were out to over 10 goals at three-quarter time, and then they ended up winning by 89 points. So they actually dominated the whole game from when the Giants kicked their first goal right through. And quite frankly, the Giants never really looked a threat ever.
Well, it did look like they were playing a second-rate team, but they weren't. And is that to you get to that point in the grand final where you're that far behind where and you just lose the plot? Or are Richmond that good? I mean, they have been the dominant team now for what, the last three. I mean, last season they didn't quite make it, but they were still right around the mark. So they've been the dominant team for the last 3 years.
Well, you know, the exit by the Giants in the grand final reminds me a little bit of the Dockers who fought hard and they finally made a grand final. And they haven't really done anything since. And I think, unfortunately, the Giants may fall down the same rabbit hole.
Because they, I mean, they've had that group of, I mean, highly skilled, sought-after players, haven't they? And they've brought them together. So they have done a great job to get there. I hope that they continue to be a force. But recent history says that the teams that have some bad grand final losses, they really struggle afterwards.
You look at the Collingwood, they only just lost by 5 points to West Coast last year. And they just lost the preliminary final to the Giants by a similar margin, another 5 points, 4 points, whatever. And they were sort of, they're up because they got something to fight for because they only just missed out. And they'll fight on next year. But I think with the Giants, it's such a deflating loss that it's really going to be hard for them to come
and
back.
But that's just a mental thing because they're the second best team. Yep. They made the grand final. So, but say people talk about the Crows one, the poor power one. And so you go, well, hang on a minute. You were the second best team in that season. You made the grand final, and yes, you lost, but you're actually better than all the other teams. So you think, why don't you come out next season knowing that you're a strong team and have a chance again?
You also got to ask a question. With Richmond, they won it 2 years ago. They were unlucky last year. I think they went out in the preliminary final. So they're a hardened finals team. It leads to the question, did the Giants play their grand final in the preliminary final against Collingwood and spent all their pennies there?
Well, they did have to come from further down the ladder, didn't they? And so, and they did play some very strong games to win. So maybe it does. I mean, it's a physically demanding game and it's going to take its toll in that whole final series, you know, emotionally, mentally going to be draining as well. I want to talk about this idea. Like, it seemed to me, like, when you were listening to the players after and just watching them, they are such a cohesive group. And this is the thing now, in today's age of elite professional sports, you see these special teams that actually play for each other.
Yes.
And I remember maybe 4 or 5 years back, there was a lot of pressure on Damien Hardwick. Like, they weren't doing as well, and the media, of course, get their fangs out, and they want to get rid of the coach. And I remember the players at the time saying, no, it's not him, it's us.
Yep.
And I thought, wow, isn't that refreshing back then to think, no, the players are, and I remember they won a game and the players were all around because there'd been a lot of pressure on him. And you think, are they the things that bring these groups together? Because we see now a lot of teams, they've got great players, but they just don't play for each other.
Yeah.
Maybe we see that with people like the Crows, you know, they seem to be in a lot of disarray, but these guys, it's really, they talked a lot about family, mates. It's we love this, we play for each other. How do you get that to happen?
Well, part of it is winning a premiership. They won in 2017, and that belief that that's instilled right through the team. And I heard Dusty Martin talk about winning the medal for the best on ground, and his attitude was, well, it doesn't really matter. We're not in it for that. We're in it to win the premiership, and that seemed to be the message from the whole team. And just the way they gelled and just the way they played together, they actually play an attractive brand of football when they're in full flight.
They do. And Bashir Hooley said, you know, they're, I'll misquote him, but stay humble. That was their thing this year. And so But he talked about, again, like it's a family. It is work, but we love coming to work. Like, we love playing for each other. And I think we hear a lot about this, you know, the new generation of players, and that they've got to be treated differently and the coaches have to talk to them differently. But I think a real message for all young players is, you know what, if you want to be good at something, you have to give of yourself to something bigger. And I think that's what Richmond have done. They said, no, we're in this together. I'm not some superstar that's going to make millions of dollars. It's all about me. It's about the team. And I think people can learn a lot from that. Give of yourself to something bigger and you'll get the rewards. But if it's all about yourself, then your chances of having success are limited, I think.
Well, you and I have both played team sport. And quite frankly, playing team sport and being successful, it gives you a much better feeling than the individual success you have. It's just, there's something special. It's like a family when you have success in a team.
It is, isn't it? And those people, they're going to remember that forever. What were your highlights?
Well, for a start, seeing Marlo Pickett play and the excitement, you know, a rookie playing his first AFL game in a grand final. It doesn't happen often, only a handful of times.
The grand final the week before.
For Richmond in the VFL, and he won the medal for best on ground in that grand final. He was third for the medal for this game as well. But just to watch him play, he belongs. He's 27 years old. He's played various levels around the place. So he has that experience. He has got a bit of a dark past as well, but he went off the rails a little bit with a few things, as a lot of young lads do, but he's come back and he deserves everything he...
Isn't that, again, you know, Dustin Martin said, thing, you know, that's what he loves about his club, that they gave him a second chance.
Yes.
And he said, I love that about my club.
Yep.
You know, and that to me, again, was a real statement, saying, hey, this club actually look after their players and back them, and they play like that.
Well, look, he had some good advice before the grand final from his uncle, his cousin, Byron Pickett. He's a tough man for Port Adelaide, So he sort of like had a few words to him about how to sort of approach the grand final. That would have helped the kid.
Yeah, for sure.
And then another highlight for me was Jack Riewoldt.
That's still my highlight. That was my highlight.
Oh, five goals.
Jack kicking five. That was fabulous.
So Jack kicked five goals, which was more than the Giants' final score, 3-7. I reckon that's the...
He loved Jack Riewoldt. But to me, he's a real character, isn't he?
Yes.
Like, he's honest. He says some really funny stuff. And the way he goes about playing, like, he's so emotional, he just puts everything into it. And I was sitting there, come on, Jack, get five. And they were so excited. I don't bear it for Richmond, but I just loved the fact that he kicked five goals.
Well, it's the first time an individual player has kicked more than the opposition's final score since about 1901 or something like that, which was just incredible. And you know, the thing is the humility of the guy. He kicks goals. He's looking to pass it off. He's not selfish, but he's there to do a job, and he takes that responsibility. He kicks the goals, takes the marks.
And see, with Lynch, like, he has backed him all year. Like, he's another young guy coming and really stealing your limelight. But he gets around him. And you think, wow, he is genuinely excited for him as a player. And you think, you imagine that. In any team, there's going to be some jealousies, especially someone in a similar position.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like... I mean, he just... And the way he talks about him, again, is like he just loves him.
Well, I've got one more highlight, and that's the fact that there's another 100,000-plus.
100,000 people.
Wow, it's just sensational. Now, what are your highlights?
Well, Jack Riewoldt. I love Bashahuli as a player. Like, you know, I think he got probably second in the Norm Smith again, but... He's that sort of understated player who just does his job and does it very well. And being a bit of a veteran too, I sort of have a soft spot for him, but you think he's been fantastic. And I just really, the talk after from the players really sort of hit me that this is a great team, a great bunch of people, and they deserve the success they've had. I was so happy for Damien Hardwick too.
Yeah, well...
I'm sick. I'm really sick and tired of the treatment of coaches by the media.
Well, they've got to search for a story somewhere, don't they?
I know, but, I mean, these guys...
I'm actually agreeing with you.
That's a tough job, but they can't... I mean, stop searching for those stories. Search... I mean, Marlon Pickett was a great story all week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So they do love jumping on those stories. Like, search for the good stories. Stop making up crap about coaches.
Well, basically, I like to see reporting that's balanced.
Well, it's got to be balanced, but it's also got to be fair. I mean, I don't think they say, oh, we have a great story here, but they're constantly now looking for stories that don't seem to exist. Look at the Crows coaching position. I mean, how many things will they make up about that?
Well, I'm sure we can discuss that at a further show. It's going to be interesting. So ends another Cut on Those Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.